for a few moments this morning if we can turn back to the portion of scripture that we read in Paul's epistle to the Romans and chapter 5, reading at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Paul here is writing not just to anyone. Paul here is writing to a people who were then renowned for their knowledge. People who were steeped in the law, and some of that law we still have in our courts unto this day. They were knowledgeable people, and that's why the letter seems at times to be very difficult for us to understand. But Paul's point here is, he starts off by saying in chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and then he said to the Greek. He covers the whole spectrum by saying that I am not ashamed of this gospel. And this is the gospel that he says to them, well, you make out yourselves to be very wise people and all that, and that is fine. We are not belittling wisdom in its own right. It has its own slot in this world. But here we have see where that wisdom of this world can lead us to. And that is where he says that when they knew about God, he said, they glorified not God. They didn't glorify God when they knew him, when they had the opportunity. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination. That is where wisdom sometimes takes us, into the realms of vanity, where we're not living in the real world. We did try to create a world of our own understanding. And because they professed themselves to be wise, he said, they became fools. The contrast there, isn't there? They professed to be wise, then they became fools. And where did that lead them? Well, it led them into the same situation that we as a people and as a nation see ourselves drifting into at this very time. For the years that have gone by there. Why was that? Have they overtaken God, my friend? You would think by looking and reading some of our rules and regulations today, where God has been jettisoned out over the side of the boat, he has no word, no place in anything that is done. And they say, well, this is wisdom. And this is how we have overcome God. But listen to what he says. And they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man. They changed that, he says. Wherefore, God gave them over up to uncleanness. And that is, you see that in our own nation, in our world, that the further we go away from God within, the more unclean the whole system, and the waters are murky and murky up in all sorts of ways, you see. But it's because God has given, it's not that they have overcome God, but God has given them up to a reprobate mind, to that type of thinking. They changed the truth of God, he said, into a lie. And worshipped and served the creature Is it not about creatures today that most of our worship is? Most we see lots of things. It's all about statues. It's all about something like that. But all they did was they changed the truth into a lie. Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who is blessed forever. This is why he says to them, they have found themselves in changing God, gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men working with an unseemly and receiving themselves that recompense of their error. That's exactly what it is. That's what we saw. That's why you're here today. Because the world has infiltrated into the church in such a way that it says, we rule the church. We rule everything around us. Not God, in fact. But that's how far from the truth that is. They did not retain God in their knowledge. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And that is so clear for me anyway, and I've been saying it for years, that you can't carry on the way things are going, have been going over the last few years. You can't. It has to reach a zenith and then plunge down. Because it is the work of the creature. But the Creator is still in charge. Your God, my friend, is in charge this morning. That is the problem in our world, and that is the problem that he's addressing here. It is the total depraved nature of man. Now, a lot of people don't like that. They don't like that, but I, for one, don't mind what anybody likes or doesn't like. It is the truth, the total depravity, that of ourselves we are unable to do anything to please God. When we said we're without strength, unable to save ourselves, unable to do anything apart, justify ourselves in our wrong. Justify ourselves. But here we have a justification by faith alone. By faith alone. That is the faith you have. Because according to our fallen nature, we are, he tells us, ungodly. What does that mean? Well, it means that we are unlike God. Unlike God in all our doing and all our sins. Is there anything that can be done about that? Well, Martin Luther, loved this letter. Martin Luther, the reformer, that we think we need to go back and think about what they did at this, when they took on the Rome with all its power. It's not, this isn't about hush, hush, don't move the waters or anything. This wasn't Luther's way of looking at things at all. He tried in the Roman system to justify himself. He did everything that they asked him to do. He walked up steps on his knees and back down again. And he was worn out. A clever man, my friend. He was wise. But he didn't have the fear of God in his life. He was wise. But because of that, he saw. This is where the light of the eternal day broke into his soul. In the words that we have in chapter 1 of this very. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is what he was trying to be, just. And he couldn't justify himself, so he had to be justified the way everybody else has to be, justified by faith. If it's not of faith, it's dead. If it's not of faith, it's sin. That's what the Bible tells us. That's how precious our faith is this morning. Unto you who believe, he is precious. They can take everything away from you, the tyranny of this world, and the leaders can take everything away from the people they throw into prison there, but they cannot touch this area within their life. The faith is there because it is a real faith. It's not just a wishy-washy faith. It is a real faith. Something that they were unable to do themselves. Therefore, he comes in here being justified by faith. Not by works, he said. Not by works. Lest any man should boast, because sin is so close to our heart that we boast in these things. We are unable to see ourselves as we really are until we first see sin appearing as sin. Now, a lot of people don't like this word sin, but it's central. It's central to our salvation. Central to our salvation. People think it's an outmoded word. People think you should be walking around it, wishing, washing it, and slushing it in all sorts of other, couching it in other languages. But sin is sin. And that is our enemy. And that is the one that pays out the wages of sin, is death. It's death. And because of that, we don't want anyone to go down that road. We are unable to love God. To love God. Or worship God. Until we know this. Until we see sin in ourselves. Not in other people around about us. There's plenty in ourselves to deal with, first of all, and we need to deal with that. We were enemies, he said. We had no access into God until this one came and did it for us. We weren't subject to the law of God. That's what John Newton said. I once, he said, was a stranger to grace and to God. One thing is the same as the other. You're a stranger to grace and to God. And when this reconciliation takes place, when you are reconciled, then you know the truth of these words. You can make us wise, well, we can't. It doesn't matter how much you study in this world. It'll make you wise, worldly wise, but it won't bring this. Nothing comes in on that door of this. We are left in this predicament where we are left to untangle this fearful web, and we can't do it. The more we try ourselves, the more entangled it gets in. It's just like an animal throwing a net over him. It looks fine for a moment, but the moment you try to save it, when he tries to save himself, he gets entangled in it and is one mess trying to undo it. But God can undo it, he said. Out of the fouler snare, he is able to do this. Because we cannot come to Christ until we repent. It's a very important word, repent. What does the Bible tells us? Here, all over the place, that at that time, he tells the Ephesians, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of grace, having no hope without God in this world. But then he goes on to say, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. He is our peace. He has abolished the enmity in our hearts. And that is a must for us all. We have to be justified. Be just with God. What must happen before we are made just with God? Then we have to be brought into reconciliation. We have to come in on God's terms, on Christ's terms. It's not on our terms, he says, because we have no terms. By the death, acceptance of the death and resurrection of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. No obedience without Jesus. And we have to work on that even with Jesus in our lives, that we have this obedience. But that's enough regarding that total, my friend, that problem that is in the world. It has always been in the world. And for so many of us, we have been released from that. Released from that. Into the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. That's the second thing we see here, is the peace which enters. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John Calvin, a great theologian, said that term he used was the wonderful exchange. A wonderful exchange that took place. When God in Christ took our sins and gave us peace back. You can't have peace with your sins. That is why we have to confess our sins every day. And that is why when we see this, we realize that he became like us without sin, that we might become like him. And that is why he calls himself holiness, the holiness of God. It's holiness that God wants to see. But peace, man, with God. This isn't speaking about the peace of God. An entirely different thing altogether. But this is peace with God. Do you know this peace this morning? The world is always calling out for peace. There are conferences for peace all over the world. And no sooner is something pacified than another thing springs up. It is always going to be the case until the end of time. No generation has mastered this. God himself, my friend, binding together what was severed by that fall. The rights that we lost in the fall are ours now in Christ Jesus. That's how we, when he opens our hearts to see this. And the church and the nation, and the church especially, needs to require to grasp this, the need for the repentance and the renewed birth to be central to our message. The peace involves God and man dealing with sin and coming one to one with the blood of the Lamb of God. Because the wrath of God is against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness of men. If you knew, he said to Jerusalem, if only you knew the things that make for your peace. You look at people, see the way they behave, and your heart breaks for them because you realize they're not going to find peace where they're looking for peace. They go from one thing to another thing, and then that other thing throws them, and then the next thing, and the next thing, and they're down in the gutter before they know where they are. Oh, Jesus said, if you knew, if only you knew the things that make for your peace, but they are hidden from you. But they are in the blood of Christ, my friend. It is coming to this access if you want something in house like Buckingham Palace or some place like that, you want to speak to the Queen. Well, the Queen's not going to speak to you there and then. There has to be an access made. There has to be a way for you to go in and speak to her there. And that is something similar to what he's saying here. And the justified only have this peace. Let us not be happy with a cheap peace, with cheap grace, because it doesn't solve the problem. Would you like the surgeon up in the hospital there to start working on you with an old scalpel or something that wasn't sharp? Because you knew that the repercussions of all that was going to happen if that was the case. The sharper it is, the better it works. And this is the one who gave us this way, but it was not a cheap way. It was a costly way. It was the crucifixion, the death and crucifixion of Christ, and his blood avails for me on this morning here, and for you. Nothing else? Nothing else does. The costliness, lastly, of this costliness, of this justification, that it had to be through Jesus Christ. Laid our sins upon him. That is what we term propitiation. God laying our sins upon him and releasing us from that situation. And you might say today, but I don't have an assurance in this. If you have part of this package, you have the whole package. If you have assurance here, it might not mean that you have full assurance. That's a different thing altogether. But there will be enough in it to keep you going on and coming to the means of peace. We're not perfect people, and we're far from it. But there is always an element in it that leads you back to Christ. Delivered from the offense. And he was raised for our justification. If Christ hadn't risen with him, then all this would be in vain. Totally meaningless. Still in your sin. Still in your sin. But what about my baptism? What about this, that, and the next? What about all these things? Well, it doesn't mean a thing. What about my works? What about my morality and all these things? It doesn't. It's the cross. It has to come. You have to come to the cross first to have your sins washed away. That is the power of God, my friend, is in this world. If you are justified, you are justified by faith. And by faith alone. Alone. That means that you have the love of God poured into your heart. That is why you get this feeling when you first believe. There is a moment, a special moment in your life when all things become new. It's not that the world has changed, but God has changed you. Christ has changed you. To be like that. And no one can argue you out of that experience. No one. It's greater than man. And the love of God is poured into our hearts. That's only when you can speak about peace with God. It's nice to have peace with everybody, isn't it? Beloved, if you lived in a world of peace where you can have peace with everybody, even peace with your neighbour, if you've fallen out, if the reconciliation takes place, it's easier for you, makes life easier for you, makes your heart lighter, and all these things. And if that is the case on a human level, what about on a heavenly level? Isn't this what we're yearning from the moment that we are born? to the moment we die, we are yearning for this to take place in our lives. And we don't know about it. We can't see it ourselves. We see it in the lives of other people. But it is still there. And it can keep your heart if it's in your heart. If it's in your heart, it'll keep your heart. Jesus has done this work. Not me, not somebody else, not anyone that stands here. It doesn't matter who he is or where he's from or whatever. You can't do it. This is a sovereign, effectual work of God. And it returns to God to glorify God. Isn't that the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You don't need rosaries. You don't need indulgences. You don't need matters. You don't need saints. You don't need to be prayed to this, that. Christ is your mediator. Christ is your mediator. He has done away with all that. So that we have a unique standing in the Protestant faith. It's not a mishmash of all things. That is the danger, in it, that we don't know the dangers between certain things and other things. And that is why we would want to know that this is how it works in our life. How precious is it? Did that grace appear the hour I first believed? God's wrath was lifted off us and placed upon his Son. No wonder he is the God of all grace and all knowledge. The Romans are left to do themselves whatever they want to do, but they will never be happy, they will never be satisfied, and they disgrace themselves, but not here. And what about Satan? Just a word for him in the midst of it. Surely he must attack you from time to time. Surely he must whisper into your ear, these things are not true. Listen to me, listen to me. Well, this is why. The great hymn writer said, you tell him about Jesus, he says. Hold Christ out to him. There is no other to tell him. I will, he said, my fierce accuser, and tell him, thou hast died. That's it. He's not going to go away from anything else. I mean, he's cleverer than you and me and all of us together. But Calvary covers it all. The situation that we're in, the cost, the price of this, the peace that it brings into our hearts, is something that we wouldn't change in any marketplace in this world. Would you change it? Would you want it? Do you want it? Well, it comes through this channel, through this access, Christ coming into your life, and you'll rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. May God bless to us a few thoughts on this morning together, because this was a rushed job that came on me yesterday when I was least expecting it. But for all that, we don't refuse to do whatever God wants us to do while we can do it. For that's as long as you can do it. And that is as long as you can seek him while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near. Amen.